Lou Ayres, 1908-1996. Born Louis Frederick Ayres III in Minneapolis, Minnesota on December 28, 1908 at 12:15 a.m. Central Standard Time. He was raised in San Diego, California. A college dropout, he was found by a talent scout in the Coconut Grove nightclub in Los Angeles and entered Hollywood as a bit player. He was leading man to Greta Garbo in The Kiss, 1929, but it was the role of Paul Baumer in All Quiet on the Western Front, 1930, that was his big break. Lou was never the typical star. He was a deeply spiritual man who studied and wrote about religion. Late in his life, he produced, directed, and wrote a feature-length documentary on religion based on his own writings. Like James Stewart, Lou had an everyman quality, but unlike Stewart, his films were seldom worthy of his talents. Although at one point he had a big studio behind him, MGM, Lou was given roles in B's in the 30s and part of the 40s. Without a doubt, his biggest and best role came in Louis Milestone's World War I masterpiece, All Quiet on the Western Front, 1930. The film was based on Erich Maria Remarque's novel detailing the horrors of war and its effect on the fighting men, who were seduced by patriotic fervor to serve and die in the trenches. Lou's performance, only his third on camera, should have garnered him an Academy Award. He poignantly portrays a young schoolboy thrown into the frenzy of war who finds himself bewildered by his loss of innocence. Lou doesn't merely act the part, he lives it. If Lou had made no other film after this, he would still be remembered as a great star. The film has many striking images. Lou's hellish night spent in a shell crater with an enemy he has mortally wounded. His impassioned speech to a group of naive schoolboys who still believe in the glory of war. Carrying his wounded buddy to an aid station, only to discover that his friend has died. And finally, one of the most famous of all film scenes. Lou, reaching for a butterfly as an enemy sniper takes aim and kills him. After this brilliance, Lou was stuck with lesser roles in lesser productions. He worked steadily in the 30s and directed one picture, Hearts in Bondage, 1936, at Republic. He starred with the most popular leading ladies of the day, Constance Bennett in Common Clay, 1930, Janet Gaynor, State Fair, 1933, and Servant's Entrance, 1934, Alice Faye. She learned about sailors, 1934. Dorothy L'Amour, Last Train to Madrid in 1937, among others. His studios, Universal, Columbia, and 20th Century Fox, strictly saw him in the B's, and he brightened these with his class and charm. An exception to these lower-budgeted fare was Holiday in 1938, where Lou steals the show as Katharine Hepburn's sweet-tempered but drunk brother, who wants to see her escape her family ties. His reviews were good, but it was a lesser role than Hepburn's and Cary Grant's. On the strength of this, he was signed by MGM to work in the same capacity he had at all the other studios, that of a leading man in B-films. Fortunately, MGM B-pictures had the quality of some A-films. He portrayed the title character for the syndicated radio show The Story of Dr. Kildare, 1950-1951. The role MGM gave him would stay with him all his life. Dr. Kildare, the idealistic young doctor, was totally suited to his personality. The series was one of MGM's most successful, with a cast that included Lionel Barrymore as the grouchy Dr. Gillespie, Lorraine Day as Nurse Mary Lamont, and Alma Krueger as Nurse Molly Bird, Emma Dunn, and Samuel S. Hines as Kildare's patients. An opportunity to play Dr. Kildare in television was aborted when the network refused to honor his request for no cigarette sponsorship. He made 9 series films in all from 1938 to 1942, and his dedication to the role was real. As a child, he had wanted to be a doctor. MGM also kept Lou busy with featured parts in Spring Madness, 1938, with Marina Sullivan, Ice Follies of 1939, a strange little film also starring James Stewart and Joan Crawford. These Glamour Girls, 1939, as the wealthy suitor of Lana Turner. Remember, 1939, losing Greer Garson to Robert Taylor and a few others. He was a very busy and popular star. Lou's early marriages were not particularly successful, though you could say he made an excellent catch with Ginger Rogers, who was his wife from 1934 to 1941. Earlier, he was married to actress Lola Lane from 1931 to 1933. Success in marriage came late in his life. In 1965, he married a former flight attendant, Diana Hall, and their marriage lasted to his death. When World War II broke out, Lou became a pariah. Much like his character in All Quiet on the Western Front, Lou objected to war and registered as a conscientious objector rather than fight. Average Americans, dreading the sacrifices their sons and husbands were about to make, were outraged that this Hollywood actor could shirk his duty. In some cities, exhibitors refused to show his movies. Lou was unceremoniously dumped from MGM. L.B. Mayer considered himself fiercely patriotic, and he was taken into custody and sent to a labor camp. Later, Lou entered the Army as a non-combatant, serving more than 3 years in the Medical Corps. For his courage under fire, he was awarded 3 battle stars. After the war, he found that he had regained the respect of the nation. The Hollywood community accepted him back into the fold. When Lou returned to Hollywood in 1946, he was a changed man. His boyish looks were gone, but his skill as an actor had deepened. His first film back was one of his best, the classic The Dark Mirror in 1946, as another doctor, this time treating the Olivia de Havilland character for her mental illness. After the uninteresting The Unfaithful in 1947, he was given one of his best roles as the doctor who teaches Jane Wyman sign language, before falling in love with her, in Johnny Belinda, 1948. For his sensitive portrayal, Lou was awarded his only Oscar nomination. Lou continued his fine portrayals on film into the 50s, settling into character parts nicely as late as the 70s. He took a stab at TV in 1985. His only other appearance as a regular was in 1958 as host of Frontier Justice, as Robert Wagner's father, in Lime Street on ABC. But the show was abandoned after 4 episodes when an accident took the life of a prominent member of the cast. For 60 years, Lou Ayres gave us solid and dependable performances. No matter how modest his roles, he played them with real sincerity. In the dictionary, under the word unpretentious, it says modest, not elaborate or showy, as in appearance or in style. This description could easily fit Lou Ayres. He might not have been a flashy actor, and his looks may have been just average, but that's the way we liked him. His performances were all about heart and soul, and he gave these to us forever on the silver screen. Lou Ayres was married to Lola Lane from 15 September 1931 to the 3rd of February 1933, when they divorced. To Ginger Rogers, 13 November 1934 to March 13th in 1940, ending again with a divorce. His final marriage to Diana Hall, a former flight attendant, was from the 7th of February in 1964 until his death on December 30th, 1996. They had one child, Justin. The new year of 1997 started on a note of sadness as we learned of the passing of another film great. Lou Ayres, one of the last of the 1930s male stars, died December 30th, 1996, just 3 days after his 88th birthday. He died in his sleep after being in a coma for several days. He is buried next to Frank Zappa in Westwood Memorial Park, Los Angeles, California. Information for this audio clip came from your audio series descriptions moderator, Roger Hohenbrink. This audio clip is provided by the Old Time Radio Researcher Group, a group of volunteers dedicated to preserving radio's past. If you would like more information on how you can assist in this, go to www.otterprojectonline.info. Your announcer, Del Alstead.